Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. It's Thursday evening and coming up on tonight's programme, we will be speaking with Jimmy Bradley of Cockhill Celtic ahead of the FAI Senior Cup game against Airfield United this coming weekend. Tom Mohun and Tony McNamee will be talking Finn Harps. And the Donegal Senior Ladies Manager, John McNulty, will be joining us live in the programme as well as we preview the Ulster Final. This time, it's the turn of the ladies to take on Armagh and the big decider in Clonus this coming Sunday. That is all coming up on The Score here tonight. But first up, we are turning our attention to motorsport. And Murrian Evans is somewhat excited about taking his Toyota Gazoo Racing Yaris Rally 2 car to the Donegal International Rally next month. It was announced today that the Melvin Evans Motorsport prepared car will compete in the Carlow Stages Rally this Sunday as a pre-test shakedown for the Jim Clark Rally in the BRC, and it will also be coming to June's Donegal International Rally. The company runs the only customer GR Yaris Rally 2 car in competition in the UK and has been brought to Donegal in conjunction with ProVision Global Consultancy, which is directed by Donegal native Paul Crumlish. Murrian, of course, has competed in Donegal recently and he's been on the podium as well in recent years, so he will be looking to do something similar again next month. And I'm delighted to say that Murrian now joins us on the programme. Murrian, a very good evening. Welcome along to Highland.
How are you, Oisin? Nice to be back. It feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, well, listen, you're coming with a lot of excitement this year. Big news that the Toyota Gazoo Racing Yaris Rally 2 is going to be making its debut in Ireland this weekend, and obviously there'll be the thousands coming to Donegal to see it as well. So an exciting few weeks ahead for you guys, Murrian.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's been a bit of a mad season so far, really. Everything's kind of coming together at once. You know, the start, we got the car very late before the first round of the British Championship, and we had two rounds in very close, and we've had a bit of a break, and it all seems to be coming at us head on again. So, I'm looking forward to getting back at it. Obviously, we have Carlow this weekend. That was planned initially anyways, a test for the Jim Clark the week after the third round of the British Championship, but then I got a call about the possibility of doing Donegal, and, you know, I could never say no to it. So, there we are.
Yeah. How did Melvin Evans Motorsports get their hands on this Yaris car? Because it's probably the most talked about car in recent years development-wise, and there's not too many customer cars across Europe, but you guys managed to get your hands on one.
Yeah, we had some contact with them last year. So we know a few engineers that work in Toyota. They've worked with us before in the past with the Volkswagens and Fords and everything. So we knew them, and obviously we know how good they are and everything. So when we heard they were at Toyota, we obviously kept in touch, and they kept us not involved, but, you know, they let us know how the car was coming along as the year went on with the development last year. And then towards the end of last year, we had to make a bit of a choice. And the way it happened, Castrol, then our sponsors, became very, very interested in putting a program together with a Yaris. It fitted in well with them. And obviously, you know yourself with a livery in the past with the Celica and the Corolla with a Castrol livery to kind of bring that back to life. And that was the goal, and that's what we managed to pull off for the start of this year.
Yeah. You have a couple of runs done already in the BRC. Obviously, you're the driver of the Yaris. Previously, you were doing a lot of rallying in the Polo. What's the change been like? How have you adapted to this car? Do you like it?
I like the car, yeah. Still, to be honest, I'm still adapting because, we've done one tarmac rally, which was, I think, only about 80 Ks in the end, with a short test before. And then only a sort of one gravel rally and a test, which was, you know, 150 Ks. So I've done kind of little mileage on both surfaces. So it'll be nice now we can focus on tarmac, which is where I'm a bit more at home at, and hopefully a good sort of 2-3 events under our belts and get to Donegal and be on a decent pace, I hope. Because, you know, the car's proven already that the potential is definitely there at such an early stage as well, you know, because it's continuing to get better. Yeah. We've had some development bits already for this weekend in Carlow. So, the car should continue to improve, and hopefully with that we will as well.
Yeah. How did the Donegal scenario come around? Because originally it wasn't in the plans, Murrian.
No, obviously our plan this year is, as you know, with the British Championship, it's what Castrol have asked of us, and it's what we're doing. But obviously, the British Championship is still quite a short calendar relatively compared to what we've been doing with, you know, the Irish Championship in the last few years. So I'd say there was always maybe a chance we could do some other things, but we never really looked at it that much. And then we had a phone call off Paul Crumlish a few weeks ago. We have some good history with him, obviously, from the Manus years in Donegal. And, you know, he presented the opportunity that we could do the rally. And like I've said to a lot of people, if you say no to doing Donegal, then there's something wrong with you. So, I'm really looking forward to it, to be honest, because, you know, we're doing the British Championship, but still I feel like the Irish events over the years, I've done a few of them and been quite successful. It almost feels like coming home in a way, you know?
Yeah. And obviously you've got a very, very close connection as a team with Donegal, having tasted success over the last number of years. But you as a driver as well, you've competed here in Donegal. Are you hoping to take this Yaris up Knockallan around the classic stages of the county? Is that something that's exciting you, Murray?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, some of the stages are phenomenal. And to be honest, we've arrived in Donegal, I would say, the last 2 years with a Volkswagen, probably not in a good place. We went straight from Killarney last year after an accident. And then in 22, okay, we finished on the podium, but probably wasn't driving that well. So if we can get a bit of momentum and get a good go from the start of the stages, and I think, from what I've heard, it's up in Inishowen area this year, and there's a lot of boys local to that have told me that you know, roads around Malinhead and stuff are some of the best in the country. So, you know, that'll be something new as well, and something I'm looking forward to, along with the classics, you know, Knockallan, Fannad, and Glenn is probably one of my favourites as well.
Yeah, and there's a change of co-driver. Jackson has been sitting with you in the BRC, but you're getting an Irishman to come on board with you. Jared Conway is going to be involved for the upcoming events.
Yeah, I would say local knowledge, but Jer lives probably as nearly as far away from Donegal as I do. So. But no, JJ actually was, obviously he'd love to do it, but his brother's getting married this year and he's booked a stag for that weekend. So for once, he's made an organising blunder. So yeah, Jer is in for Donegal, to be fair. JJ's this weekend, obviously, and then for the Jim Clark, but then Jer will step in for Donegal. Obviously, we've worked him a good few times before with his time with Rob Duggan, once in Donegal and then once in Killarney last year. And, you know, Joe's a very good co-driver. I'd say probably one of the best. So, yeah, it shouldn't hold me back anyway. Let's say that.
Yeah. Listen, you're going to evolve this Melvin Evans motorsport team, because there's a second Yaris coming that obviously another very, very talented driver will be behind the wheel, Chris Ingram. When's the delivery of that one due for the team?
I think it should be the week after Donegal. So, it's a shame if it's a week before. Maybe we could have two cars, but, you know, we can't have it all. But yeah, that should arrive in late June, and then Chris should use it for the remainder of the British Championship and hopefully a couple of other events as well in Europe, which that would be ideal. But yeah, I think he's looking forward to getting his hands on it now after, obviously, the car won WRC2 in Portugal, and it won most of the stages out in the Canaries and the ERC the week before. So it's proven on both surfaces, and I think he's quite excited to get his hands on his.
Yeah. Just finally then, no pressure, Marianne. There's going to be a lot of eyes on you in Donegal come rally time with this Yaris, so there is.
Yeah, pressure's for tyres. Yeah, look, it's always the same. I mean, it's the biggest rally. Everybody wants to deliver there. And like I said, I'd say, even though we finished on the podium 2 years ago, the pace wasn't the best. And last year, I think, coming off the back of an accident in Killarney, we just dropped the ball on the first day. So, like I said before, I think if we can get a good build-up and, you know, and mainly enjoy it all again, and the speed should hopefully come. You know, it'll be tough. I think it'll probably be the strongest entry Donegal has seen for some years, and that's saying something. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it, and it'll be great to be back.
Okay, listen, Marian, we look forward to seeing this Yaris on the roads of Donegal, and indeed this weekend in Carlow as well. Great to catch up, and we'll talk again soon, Marian.
Yes, thank you, Eugene. We'll see you in the hills, I suppose.
A big weekend ahead for Marian Evans, who is taking that Yaris first of all to Carlo, the Irish debut off the Toyota this weekend, and everybody will be excited to see it in the Donegal International Rally next month. There will, of course, be a full field in Carlo at the weekend, and there certainly will be an interesting battle at the head of the field. The two Moffats, Josh and Sam, are the top seeds. Daniel Cronin in Apollo is the third seed. Marian and Jonathan Jackson will have five on the door this weekend. A couple of Donegal men inside the top 10. Declan Boyle and Patrick Walsh seated at 7. And the younger Boyle, Michael, with Dermot McCafferty seated at 10. And Kevin Geller and Ryan Moore are the top two-wheel drive seeds in Carlow this weekend. Moving now to Gaelic Games. Championship football for the Donegal Senior Ladies starts this weekend. And just like the men, they play Armagh in the Ulster final on Sunday at St Tiernach's Park in Clonus. Armagh will be favourites, having won the Division 1 title, while Donegal just missed out in promotion from Division 2. The result of the game will also determine the groups for the upcoming All-Ireland series. And Donegal's senior ladies manager, John McNulty, joins us now on the programme. John, you're welcome to the airwaves of Highland.
Thank you, Oisin.
John, when I was just doing a few notes earlier today, looking at the championship and before we'd done this interview, you just haven't played a game since the 24th of March. Now, that's nearly 2 months. And when we talk about split seasons and condensing calendars, it's not the case for the Liddies, but it's gone the other extreme. There's too big a gap there, John.
I'd agree, Oisin. There's definitely too big a gap there. 2 months, a very long time. We probably took maybe about 10 days off after the league and then came back at it and been back training in that sense. But as you say, for competitive games, that your first game is in an Ulster final, and it's 6 weeks later or so. It's a long time to prepare. But all we can do is prepare as good, well as we can for Sunday, which we've done.
And what did your preparations involve, John?
Well, a lot of training, Oisin, and a few challenge games in the middle of that as well, and preparing to try and what way we want to play and different things like that, and working on different things. And, you know, you got a few gears back from injury and it allowed them time to recover and get back into full fitness. So there's probably a bit of an advantage in that. So that's what we've been doing over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. So that's what my next question was going to be. How are you fixed personnel-wise with the group now going on? Do you have everybody that you want available, John, or did it maybe give you a chance as well, maybe to look at other players and add them to the panel?
Yeah, well, there would have been, you know, obviously in-house games, and you would have seen different people trying to putting their hand up to stake a place in the, maybe the 15 or 20 players. And we've had that, and which is good. And some in-house games were very good. So from that thing, it definitely builds competition within the squad, which was good over the last 6 weeks. And, but as going with injuries and that, we don't have any, and we're good to go for Sunday.
That's a nice position to be in. Maybe if we just reflect back in the league, John, 7 games played. You won 4 of them, missing out on promotion when you had time to sit back in those days after the league. What was your thoughts and reflections on it?
Well, my reflection on it when I sat back and thought about it was that I was very happy with our league campaign, because while we didn't gain promotion, we had a lot of young players, new players coming into the squad. So from that end, you had to build up the experience in that. And one thing I would say, that no matter, even though we finished 3rd, the top 2 teams that we played, we were very competitive with them, which meant that, you know, we were in contention, which means that it leaves us in a good place in terms of building the squad for next year and further on. So from that point of view, I would have been very happy. So from now, just again, it was focusing then after that on the All-Ireland series, the Ulster final against Armagh, who obviously are Division 1 league champions and have been going well this year. So from that point of view, they'll be firm favourites for it. But it means that we're probably an underdog, and it's a nice way maybe to be going into Ulster final, although be it that you have to perform very well to try and win that Ulster title.
Yeah, because the reality of it is there's been a huge turnaround in the ladies senior panel, John, compared to last year and when you come in and took over. And it's, as Jim McGuinness says for the men all the time, it's about building blocks, and it's very much a similar situation for you as well, because the majority of this is a new and young group. So it is, John.
You're correct, Oisin. I mean, that's exactly what it is. It is a rebuild in a lot of ways. And I mean you lost top class players there, like we say Karen Guthrie, Geraldine McLaughlin, Nicole McLaughlin, Emer Gallagher, there's a list there, you know. So all that, a lot of experience, very good players. You know, losing those obviously takes a time for the younger players to come in. But I have to say, a lot of the younger players have come in and have been very competitive, are willing to listen, try to improve all the time. And I'd have to admire the effort and everything that they've given to Donegal, which it cannot be faulted. So we go on Sunday with that in our back pocket, that we have a lot of work done in terms of our fitness and our preparation, and the girls are really looking forward to going down Ulster final and Clones on Sunday, and hopefully the weather's given nice and it'll be a good occasion.
Obviously Donegal haven't played in about 6 to 8 weeks. Likewise for Armagh, 7th of April was the last game that they played in, and there's a big break as well. Do you think, John, with that large gap for them as well, could that help you in some sort of way, that maybe they might have lost some momentum during that period of time since they didn't have any games?
Well, you could say that if we were playing games, but when we weren't playing any competitive games either, it probably levels it up some sort, that both are going in the same situation. albeit that they've come off a back of a very successful Division One league. But in saying that, you know, you probably will the first maybe 10, 15 minutes. You probably have to dust the cobwebs up and get up to the speed of what you were used to playing at. And I actually, with any team that's off 5-6 weeks, that's probably one of the things that you're trying to get. It's trying to get up to that competitive speed again after being off that long.
A lot of challenges on the field and the Ulster final. I suppose one of those, first of all, is containing somebody like Amy Mackin. When Donegal beat Armagh over the last couple of years in Championship football, that's what they had to do. It's something you're going to have to do as well, John.
Yeah, I think any team playing Armagh has to do it. She's a quality forward. Has a great range of kick and can kick from anywhere around that 40, and actually a very, very good footballer. So yeah, and there's also Kelly Mallon, and you know, there's Henderson Gaelic in full forward as well. They have McConville Gaelic at centre half back that was woman of the match in the league final, and you know, so they have a lot of good players and a very seasoned campaigners too. You know, they're in a good position in terms of that, and probably looked at as one of the favourites to contend for the All-Ireland. So we know the tasks ahead of us in that way, but it's up to us to deal with that and get ready for the game.
And afterwards, 2 weeks down the line, there is going to be the start of the All-Ireland series. Now, if you were to take that win in the Ulster final, which would be regarded as a sensational result, you would be in with Meath and Tipperary. If you lose the Ulster final, you'll be in with the Munster winners, be it Kerry or Cork, with Kerry probably favourites to win that, and Waterford as well. There's not much difference really in the quality of them groups, John, is there?
No, they're both quality groups there. That's something we'll probably deal with after the Ulster final. Right now I can't see past that at the minute. I'm just looking forward to Sunday and giving it all we have and wanting to come back with that trophy on Sunday, which, as you say, would be a huge achievement. But the girls are really up for it, and we're really looking forward to it, Oisin. And if we can do that, we'll be delighted on Sunday evening.
Okay, fingers crossed you do. John, thanks for talking to us, and the best of luck to you, the management, and the players this weekend in that Ulster final.
Thank you, Oisin.
Always good to catch up with John McNulty. They've had a long break, but the championship beckons now for the county senior ladies. Now, on to other Gaelic games matters. Just looking at fixtures, the Ulster Minor Football Championship semi-finals will be played on Saturday, with the winner on the day, extra time and penalties if required. Donegal will be hoping it doesn't go that far this weekend against Armagh, as they play the Orchard County once again. Ballyshannon is the venue, and 12:00 is the throw-in time. So the senior men played Armagh last week, and this coming weekend the minor men have them, and the senior ladies have them as well. So a lot of action against the Orchard County for Donegal teams at the minute. That's one minor semi-final. There's a derby in the other one, Derry against Tyrone. Owen Beg is the venue for that tie, and that one is due to get underway at 12 o'clock as well. This season there has been midday throw-ins for most of the minor championship games. Of the senior Northwest sides, Derry are the only one playing in the All-Ireland first round series this coming weekend, and they've got a trek into the west as they go to Galway and Pearse Stadium. Derry looking to get their championship back on track again after losing to Donegal so early in the Ulster Championship. And the Tyrone under-20s have a massive weekend, because they are playing Kerry down at O'Muir Park in Laois on Sunday. It's the All-Ireland under-20 championship final, and there's a 1 o'clock start to that game for the Red Hands this coming weekend, as they look to topple the kingdom and become All-Ireland champions. That would be a fantastic result for them. Hurling-wise, the three Northwest counties are all in action this weekend. In the Nicky Racker, Donegal are away from home. They're down in Louth, and they are playing in Dowlishill. Donegal really have nothing to play for in that game, because they've already qualified for Croke Park and the Cup Final, which will be played on the August bank holiday weekend. And in the Christy Ring Cup, Derry are away against Sligo, and Tyrone have a home on Saturday afternoon. Okay, the time is 26 minutes past 7. You're tuned to Highland Radio. This is the Score programme, and there's lots of soccer on the way after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the programme. Tom Mohan and Tony McNamee will be talking Fun Harps coming up shortly on the programme. But we're going to continue now with the FAI Senior Cup, because there's another big game on the horizon for Coghill Celtic this coming Sunday afternoon down at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Ground. They will play host to Leinster senior side Airfield United, and it's in the first round of the FAI Senior Cup. Coghill have had massive games so far this year. They won the Premier Division title in Inishowen. They also won the Clubman Shirts League Cup crown. And they got the big one, the FAI Junior Cup, a couple of weeks ago as well. So listen, the preparation has been good for their next assignment. And it could prove to be one of the toughest of the year for the Inishowen side. Earlier today, Highlands' Mark Gellar caught up with Coghill player Jimmy Bradley.
Jimmy, going into this weekend's tie with Airfield, I suppose preparations couldn't have been better in recent weeks, having won the Inishowen Premier Division, FAI Junior Cup and the Clubman Shirts League Cup. You must be full of confidence.
Yeah, we're going well. We're all buzzing at the moment. Couldn't happen at a better time. Normally in the Senior Cup, we're out of season nearly at this stage. So we're still on season, so we're well up for it.
And just on that victory against Gorey in the FAI Junior Cup, have you managed to come down off the high of winning a national title? There must have been heavy celebrations that weekend, surely.
There was, of course. We're probably lucky in the sense of the cup match the following week, so we did celebrate for 3-4 days, I think. But we had to realise that we had another cup match, so we buckled down again and got back to training.
And moving on to this weekend's fixture, Jimmy, how much do you know about your opponents?
Not a lot at the moment. We'll go into training tomorrow, and Gavin will probably give us a rundown on what he's found out about them. They got the last 16 under me a cup, so this should be a fairly strong side. So they'll be a good side. That'll be a good test.
So you'd say they'll likely be a step up from what you've faced so far this season?
I'd imagine so. They should be. They're under me a level. They're in a good league, so they should be a tougher opposition, yeah.
And the fact that you're at home, you'll no doubt be in front of a huge crowd of Coghill supporters cheering you on. You really need to make that count, don't you?
Home advantage is key in these cup competitions, and with the crowd we have at the moment and the supporters that are coming, they're going above and beyond. They support us. So at home we should have an extra man nearly cheering us on.
And squad wise, you have been quite lucky in terms of injuries so far this season. You've managed to keep the injury count down. Is that still the case heading into the weekend, or how's the squad looking?
I don't think we have any new injuries, to be honest. A few of the boys were injured earlier in the year, and their boys just step under their places. It's hard to believe how they do it, but they just step in and take over, and we're really lucky that the squad depth, to be honest, really helps.
Yeah, if you get through it, maybe another home tie with Finn Harps or Derry City could be on the horizon. That wouldn't be too bad in the next round, would it?
No, that'd be ideal, to be honest. Two very good sides as well. It should bring an even bigger crowd for us. You probably prefer Derry, maybe a bigger draw and maybe closer to us. Finn Harps might have more chance of beating Finn Harps, to be honest. But if we get through this round, it'd be great to get one of the two teams, yeah.
After this weekend, what's up next for Coghill Celtic? What are you realistically looking to get out of this FAI Senior Cup journey?
To get as far as possible. If we get through this round, it'd be great, to be honest. And then if we got one of the bigger sides, we might get a big draw and might get a very big crowd at our home or away. It always helps financially for the club. They spent a lot of money on us over the last few weeks, taking us around the country. So it'd be nice to get something back for them.
And finally for me, Jimmy, win, lose, or draw at the weekend, you've had a great season. What do you put the continued success down to?
It's hard to place any one thing, but our management team and background staff are really, really, really good. They put in a lot of effort. Everyone's prepared for us. I know we have to train and we do our own wee bits and pieces, most of the lads. But everything's prepared for us when we land. So I think it's just maybe the professionalism between the backroom staff and Gavin. The support has also helped this year. The support seems to be building every year. For the older boys as well, it's hard to be, the hunger that they have, that Gavin and Oisin have been there a long time as well, and myself, we don't like getting beat is a big thing. For us older boys anyway, the younger boys then bring an extra buzz into the scenario. A lot of good players, possibly senior players in the near future. That's probably the main reason we're doing well, I think.
That's Coghill's Jimmy Bradley speaking to Mark Gallagher ahead of their FAI Senior Cup clash with Airfield United, which is happening this Sunday. 3:00 is the kickoff down the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Ground, and we'll have updates from that tie here on Highland with Martin Holmes. Elsewhere locally in soccer, the Voodoo Cup final is on at the Diamond Park in Ballyar. Saturday. And Drumbarra taking on Strand Rovers. That game has a kickoff time of 1 o'clock. Then on Sunday, the semi-final weekend of the Brian McCormick Sports Cup, Kildrum Tigers are playing Letterkenny Rovers and Cager Rovers are up against Kopenay Rovers. While on Saturday, in any show in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup final is taking place, Kildaff are playing Redcastle United. That game has a 5 o'clock kickoff time down at McGinn Park in Buncrana on Saturday. Now, Finn Harps captain Tony McNamee has been speaking to Highland Radio Sport today ahead of tomorrow's SSE Airtrusty League First Division clash with UCD at Belfield. The Remelton man has been in fine form this season and has scored some important goals as well, including last Friday's sensational strike against Longford Town and winners against Treaty United in both home and away fixtures against the Limerick side. McNamee also scored against UCD in the 1-1 draw at Finn Park last month. UCD, meanwhile, are sitting second in the table and have only suffered one defeat in their last 11 outings. Well, Tony was out and about in Remelton today at the official opening of the new Kiernan store at Moorfield, and that's where I caught up with the Finn Harps captain. Finn Harps captain Tony McNamee, looking forward, well, before we look forward to the game against UCD on Friday night, I suppose, what, 2-1s in the last three games? How would you sum up the form over the last couple of weeks for the side?
We had a great start to the season. We had a bit of a blip then, but we've improved now in the last couple of games. I suppose we had three games in the space of a week, and to get 6 points out of it is a big achievement, I suppose. But again, looking back in the games, the Longford game, we didn't actually start that well, even though we were 2-0 up. They brought it back to 2-2, but we improved then as the second half went on, and I suppose we were lucky in a way that we got the winner, but again, 6 points from three games, you're going to take it all day long within a week.
Yeah, and of course, that's when the squad comes into play, because when you play so many games in quick succession, it's sore in the body, sort of.
Yeah, well, the fact that we're part-time as well, a lot of boys are, like, we played Friday, there was boys in work then, probably Saturday, Sunday, play again Monday, and boys back at work then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then we're getting training in between times as well, so the bodies aren't getting as much time to recover as if you were a full-time club. But again, there's plenty of players there that might have been on the bench for the game on the Friday night that got their chance on the Saturday or the Monday even, and it's about taking your chance when you get it, and it's a squad game. You're never going to go through a season only using 14, 15 players. Them days are gone. You need a squad there for that there, and you have to, I suppose, in a way, the better the players that are training, it pushes the players that are starting as well, so there's competition for places as well.
Yeah, I suppose in the first 9 games of the season, the first series of matches, all the teams started to size each other up, and the opposition then figured out the way sort of Harps are playing this year, and he's lost a number of games on the bounce, just couldn't pick up those ones. But over a series of weeks then, you started to find a bit of form today, which shows that there's a bit of character in these boys and a bit of grit in them.
Yeah, well, again, whether it be teams underestimating you at the start of the year, we finished second last year, and we improved the squad this year. There's a lot of players that stayed from last year's squad, and we added a bit of extra experience and extra quality too. We had a very good pre-season. Performances were great, everything was great, and we brought it into the start of the season. But again, like, we were 2-0 down at Longford in the first game of the season, we brought it back, we ended up winning 3-2, so that again shows there's a lot of character in the team. But if we hadn't won that game, who knows what way the results would have went. That there probably gave us a lot of confidence in how we can actually play in them games. And we went through a great run then. I think Cove was the only team to beat us in the first quarter of the season. And then, again, disappointment then with Athlone, Cork, Cove. Again, defeats then in succession after that then. But again, from looking at the squad, there's a lot of experience there. I know that a lot of the younger boys got a lot of experience from last year, and it probably shows now that we're capable of actually competing against every other team.
Yeah. Are you enjoying your role this year?
Yeah, look, it's one of them ones where I come back in the middle of last year. again, finished out the season and prepared properly again for the season coming ahead. When Murph called me in for a meeting then about being captain this year, it was something that I was surprised at in a way. But again, it's one of them ones where there's a lot of experienced players. It doesn't take one player to, not say control the dressing room, but everyone has to have their own input into things. So in a way, there's plenty of experience with David Colley, Ryan Rooney, Connor Turris, Noah, Tim. You could go through even more. But it's one of them ones where everyone has come together as a collective and decided what we want to try and achieve this year. And at the end of the season, then we'll look back at it then, and whether it's a successful year or whatever it is, we have to try our best for it anyway.
Yeah. Well, the next assignment now on Friday night is in Dublin at the Belfield. It's been a while, I think, since Harps actually won in Dublin against UCD, but what sort of challenge are you expecting now on Friday evening?
Well, look, every UCD team that I've ever played against, they've always been young, energetic. They've always tried to play, as people might say, football the right way. But again, it's all about getting 3 points, no matter how good or bad you play. I know William from his time under Ollie, he'll probably look at us more than any of the other teams would. He knows a lot of the players. He probably knows a lot more players inside out than some people would. But it's one of them ones where we have to go there and try and win the game. I suppose by hook or by crook, as if we come out with 3 points at the end of the day, that's all that matters to us, and we have to show them the respect that they deserve. They're second in the league. They're going well. I don't think they've lost one in maybe 10 or 11 games, so they are actually going well. We played very well against them in Finn Park. They went down to 10 men, and for 10 or 15 minutes, we kind of lost the run of ourselves, but they got a lot of control in the game too. And it's just one of them ones where everyone can beat everyone in the league, and we just have to go to UCD tomorrow night and try and get 3 points.
Yeah, putting back-to-back ones and successive weekends would be a good position to be in going into your next home match.
Yeah, well, look, it's one of them ones where we have to look UCD tomorrow night. After that, then Kerry away will take care of itself then again. But we have to look towards the UCD strengths and weaknesses and try and pinpoint where we can, I suppose, put them under a bit more pressure. And again, whether it's 1-0, whether it's 5-4, as long as we come away with 3 points at the end of the day, we'll be happy out.
Okay, listen, the very best of luck on the next series of matches, in particular on Friday night against UCD. Thanks, Tony.
Perfect, thanks, Ossie.
That's Tony McNamee, the Finn Harps captain, who spoke to me earlier today down in Remelton. They, of course, are heading for Dublin and UCD tomorrow night. And the other fixtures, the Leaders Cork City are also on the road. They go to Bray Wanderers. Cove Ramblers to go on Treaty United, and Wexford are playing Kerry FC. The Longford Athlone Town match is taking place on Saturday. Now, we all can't wait for tomorrow's game in the Premier Division, where Stephen Kenny is back in the dugout at Richmond Park. It was, of course, officially confirmed after all the speculation over the last couple of days that Stephen Kenny is returning to League of Ireland football, and he has taken over the managerial position at St Patrick's Athletic. And the first game with him and his manager is going to be against a club that he has a very, very close connection to, and he won several League Cups with as well, and that, of course, is Derry City. That's one of 5 games being played in the Premier Division, all kicking off at 7:45. But are Derry going to spoil St. Pat's party tomorrow night in what will be Stephen Kenny's first game in charge of St. Patrick's Athletic? Elsewhere, it's Sligo Rovers against Bohemians. Leaders Shelburne play Waterford. Shamrock Rovers are off to a side that's under serious pressure, Dundalk, while Drogheda United will play host to Galway United. Derry, it's a double weekend for them, and indeed Shelburne and Shamrock Rovers and St. Patrick's Athletic, actually the 4 teams that have a double weekend, because they're in action on Monday as well. Derry are heading back to the Tallaght Stadium. They're always good at picking up results down there against Shamrock Rovers at that venue. And at Richmond Park, back-to-back home games for Pats and Stephen Kenny as they welcome the league leaders Shelburne to Richmond Park as well on Monday. Now, former Finn Harps player Tom Mohan, who is the current Republic of Ireland men's under-19 head coach, was among those in attendance at the recent launch of the book We Are the Harps in Jackson's Hotel. In the book, co-authors Bartley Ramsey and Joe Doherty have profiled all 628 players who have played for Finn Harps from when the club entered the league in 1969 up until the end of last season. Chris Ashmore was there at the launch for Highland Radio Sport and spoke to Tom Mohan about the book, Tom's own playing days, including the FAI Cup final defeat of 99, winning the Division 1 trophy in 2004, his current role with the under-19 national team, and his thoughts on the League of Ireland and the structures that are now in place.
Tom Mohan, a night that brings back many memories there. Talk of all sorts of successes, including 2004, which was a big year for you.
It was, Chris, you know, because it was my last season at Harps, and you know, we had fought so hard at different stages to get up, and we had so many disappointments, and that, you know, group of players, you know, stuck together, and thankfully, you know, we got the reward of winning the first division, absolutely, and to see tonight, you know, the heroes in 1974, and obviously it brings memories of the 99 Cup final as well, you know, and how close we were to that as well, you know. But when it came to Harps first, you know, there was all this, Brendan Bradley and Jim Sheridan and Charlie Ferry, and these men were, you know, you were stepping into the footsteps of legends, you know, and they're still legends around the club.
When you just look at the role of honour for Harps, you know, there's the Cup final.
Yes.
There's the league in 2004, there's a couple of minor trophies. So, you know, as a player, when the chance does come around into win something, you don't know if it's ever going to come again.
That's true, like, you know, because even, you know, currently at the moment, like, you know, the professionalism in the League of Ireland, you know, and the standard, the quality of player, and it's great to see the league doing so well, and clubs, you know, clubs are thriving with the crowds that are going to games, and it's very, very competitive. You look at the Premier Division at the moment alone, it's highly competitive, like, you know, and come here, every club has to stay within their means, and, you know, Harps had have tough years too, but, you know, the club's still going and going strong, and please God, you know, get the stadium up and running, and a new era for Finn Harps as well, like, you know, and it's testament also to the many people that have, you know, financed the club over the years, the people that have worked behind the scenes. Everybody goes to a match that, you know, you see the players, but you don't see all the work that goes on behind it.
You had some great times at Harps, and when you look back, was the big disappointment around your era was not winning the Cup.
Absolutely, like, you know, that was the big disappointment, because that group of players, you know, it was a very strong group. There was a lot of quality in the group, you know. Look at the front of the book, and you see Speakey and, you know, Paddy McGranahan, Declan Boyle, you know, fantastic players, you know, that have been at the club, and probably, you know, that's the one that got away, but you just have to get on with it.
Yeah, so Bray eventually beating you in the second replay, and a bit of controversy as well, and, you know, for many years Harps was kind of a yo-yo club.
Yeah, you know, at that time, you know, we had done very well that season as well in the Premier Division. Like, we were very, you know, it's like a hard luck story here, going back, reeling back the years, but we were very close in Europe as well, and I think, you know, if we had a good one of those two, if we had a good Europe, if we had won the Cup, you know, the club was in a really, really good place at the time. There was massive crowds coming to the games. There was good profile around the club. There was, you know, real quality players. You know, the likes of Pascal Vodacquin was another player there that, you know, comes to mind. That was the calibre of player that we had, you know, at the club. And, you know, I think if either one of those had a good success in either one of those areas, I think it would have grown further and further. And, we, you know, success obviously breeds success. But come here, that's it, that's life. And there was a big investment put into the club at the time, and it just didn't work out, you know. But it wasn't through any lack of effort of Charlie or anybody behind the scenes. There was, you know, the great backroom staff. There was a lot of, you know, things were put in place for us, like, you know, but that's football.
Yeah. So, no doubt, every weekend you're still looking out for the Harps result?
Aye, absolutely, Chris, yeah. You know, and Darren's there as manager at the moment, and I actually played with Darren at Portadown as a youth player and reserve team player, and came here, highly dedicated fella, like, you know, great knowledge of the game, and he's doing fantastic work at the moment, like, you know, at the club, and long may it continue. Yeah.
And just bring us up to speed of what exactly you're doing in the game at the moment.
Yeah, I'm head coach with the Republic of Ireland under-19s at the moment, and we're preparing for next season. So, come here, it's a continuous searching of talent, and just coming from a game today up in Derry, and I'll attend the Harps under-17 game tomorrow. So, come here, it's a great job. It's a privilege to manage our country, like, you know, and there's a lot of talent in the country, and there's great responsibilities come with it, but great experiences, and you know, we've a good team of underage international managers. A lot of work going on the ground, but we can't do our jobs without, you know, the people that are working at the academies, the likes of Kevin, the work he's doing here at Harps, and all the coaches that are doing the work here. That's massive. And, you know, we need more investment in that area, you know, and I know the people at Donegal have, you know, are very good when it comes to that, like, you know, but if we really want to develop the game and have even better League of Ireland players, we need full-time academies, we need greater contact hours with our players, we need, you know, more full-time coaches to really catch up, you know, on the rest of Europe.
I was chatting to Kevin McHugh very recently, and we were actually talking about 2004, and at that time Harps had the first team and the Ulster Senior League team, and that was it. And now we have the underage structures, and we've got the academies. I mean, it's a totally different ballgame.
It is indeed, yeah. And that's, you know, that, I suppose that's the way it was at the time. Your first team and reserve team, and but now League of Ireland's all about clubs. And the great thing about that is, you know, you've got your under-14s, under-15s, under-17s, 19s, first team. You've got girls' teams. So that means you've a lot more young people connected to a League of Ireland club. You've an awful lot more families connected to League of Ireland club. So that instills a greater identity. And I think it's you know, it's a proven point that, you know, you've more people now. Not all around that, but the fact that people and families have people connected with the club, you know, there's a greater identity, and that's so important.
Tell me, just before you go, looking at the league this year, starting at the Premier Division, Shamrock Rovers defending the title again, Derry City are going to be there or thereabouts, and then after that, well, it's hard to call, because it's a little bit up and down. Waterford are on the middle of a good run at the moment. Ollie's certainly having an influence in Galway, and they're punching pretty well at the moment, but it's very competitive.
It is, you know, and as I say, there's great atmosphere at games, there's great following at games, and, you know, the quality on the pitch is very good, and that's why people keep coming back, and it must be one of the most competitive leagues in Europe at the moment. You know, and I know Shamrock Rovers have been really successful, and Dundalk prior to that as well. Obviously Cork had their successes too, but I think it's really, really good for football in the country. You know, there's a lot of clubs and areas, you know, where football is very strong, and I think it's great to see that competition, and, you know, it'll entice more people to come out to games, and it's great from my point of view too, in my role, that, you know, young players are in and around first teams, playing for first teams, because it's improving them as players, and they're playing at a really good level. But no, it's great for the league, and, you know, it's onwards and upwards.
And Damien Duff has certainly had an influence with Shells, because look where he's taken them in 3 or 4 years.
Well, Damien's obviously one of the greatest players ever played for Ireland, and one of the most high profile, and he wears his heart in his sleeve, and like, he's played Champions League, he's won major honours, Premier League, but he's, you know, a reflection of what League of Ireland football is, like, you know, and he doesn't hide it, and that's powerful.
And just turning to the First Division, the stadium project is probably more important in the short term now. It's got to that stage that Harps have to have the facilities, and even if they did get promoted, they've had enough derogations, we don't know if they'd actually get the A licence. But off the field, Murphy's doing a great job, things are progressing, but ultimately they do need better facilities.
Well, that's, you know, and I suppose it's the same for a lot of clubs in the league, Chris, like, you know, in our league, you know, deserves better facilities, like, you know, and like, Finn Harps is a very strong football county, and I know Darren referenced it in there about, you know, the pull of being connected with the Donegal club, and, you know, the support, and I know obviously when I was here there was a great connection between players and fans. You know, we enjoyed journeys together, we suffered together, but they always backed us, like, you know. And, you know, Finn Harps supporters obviously deserve, you know, brilliant facilities, everybody involved with the club, and that's a given around the country, and I think that's our next step, like, you know, to get those facilities, stadiums, training grounds, and the game has massive potential in this country.
So in a nutshell, you're pretty upbeat about the next 5-10 years for for the domestic game here.
Ah, yeah, absolutely. But it's so, so important that we build on where we currently are at the moment. Like, you know, and I know Mark Scanlon, you know, director of the League of Ireland, and he has a strong team working around him as well and doing things very diligently and professionally, like, you know, and, you know, has a real hunger to drive the league on. And we just, you know, we need support. We need more funding, you know, and we need more big companies to get behind us, because the league is definitely, you know, it's in a good place, like, you know, and obviously, you know, we need funding from every aspect, from government, from everywhere, like, you know, because I do know from my experiences around Europe, like, you know, that it's a hard battle when you see what other countries have compared to us. And I know if we can get what they have, what we can produce, because we've brilliant coaches, we've brilliant footballers, we've brilliant administrators.
And that's Tom Mohan that was speaking to Chris Ashmore at the recent launch of the new book, We Are the Harps, which is available now. Good to hear the voice of Tom Mohan again and get his thoughts on different aspects of the game at the moment. Finally, just looking at the cricket fixtures which are taking place in the North West this weekend. It's Irish Senior Cup weekend for the North West sides, and there's a number of them that have home fixtures, and four in total. Ardmore will play host to North Down. Brigade are hosting Woodvale. Brady are taking on Phoenix, and Clontarf will head to Killiecluny. The rest all are away ties. Coleraine go to Pembroke. Dunamana are at Merion. And Newbuildings at CSNI and Eglinton must travel to Instonians. Donegal's only top tier cricket club is of course St Johnstone, and they will have a home tie in the National Cup as they take on Wexford. Also having home fixtures are Bonds Glen against Donaghcloney Mill, Burndennet against Rush, and the Ned play host to Belfast, while Fox Lodge are on the road at Ballymena. Glendermot go to Terenure, and who are we missing? Strabane are off to Cork. Harlequins and Ballyspellin are playing University of Galway as well. And that's your cricket fixtures this coming Saturday, the 18th of May, with national competitions. And that brings an end to the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly in the playback and the sports sections of our website, highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news with Mark Gallagher. So until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Continue to enjoy the good weather. Have a very good evening.